All right, let me jump on into today's Right Side Way opening monologue, and I'll remind you guys that, as always, the Right Side Way brought to you by attorney Stan McDonald. Stan McDonald, a longtime practitioner of the law in North Alabama, a longtime conservative, and your daily sponsor of the Right Side Way, and I'll tell you more about Stan here momentarily. So I gotta start by saying I had an experience over the past few days that I did not expect. It was humbling, and it also really made me think. I did an interview on Fox News nationally this past weekend to discuss the Trump administration's military buildup in the Caribbean, right? So I was on Fox, and I'm talking about this specifically in the waters off of Venezuela. And I made note of the military history of the U.S. in the region and the current implications of Trump staring down the socialist dictator of Venezuela, El Presidente Nicolas Maduro. Maduro, the tyrant, Maduro, the ally of Russia and China, Maduro, the drug trafficker. In the course of the interview, I made the comment that while I don't believe that we're going to wind up having U.S. boots on the ground in Venezuela, that I do believe that Maduro is not long for office. I mean, even if his own people, I said, have to rise up and oust him. Well, Fox News posted my interview to their website, and a few hours later, an X account, Twitter, that is run by a guy who calls himself a Venezuelan journalist in exile. He took my interview, he translated it to Spanish, and he posted it again with a message that there are Americans who believe that Trump is right to oppose Maduro. Well, y'all, within 24 hours, that post was viewed in Spanish over 16,000 times with hundreds of reposts from people calling for freedom for the Venezuelan people. Now, I'm not saying we should jump feet first into a South American country and conduct regime change. I'm not. And by the way, neither is the president. What I am saying, though, is I was really struck by the fact that my short interview was grabbed by a bunch of people, taken in their language, and made some kind of a moment of hope. What I'm saying right now is there are people around this world who still look to the United States of America as what people like John F. Kennedy and Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush and, you know, our early American colonial patriots called a city on a hill. That's what we are, a city on a hill. The phrase actually comes from Scripture. Jesus said in Matthew 5:14, "You are the light of the world, and a city on a hill cannot be hidden." Honestly, that's what so many around this world still think of when they picture America. That place where freedom can be found, where rights are enshrined in our founding documents, where votes are supposed to matter, where generally speaking, you can live free, and that freedom is actually contagious. It is. And people like Maduro in Venezuela, they suppress their people because they fear the idea of a free society that can pick and choose its leaders. Former Colorado Governor Bill Owens, he once said, "Freedom is contagious, and that's why despots fear it so much." What a great quote. Now, when I say that people in oppressed countries around the world have an idealized image of America, I mean it. Look, I've walked on ground where tyranny was freshly overthrown. I've watched as people who had never known what it was like to have any measure of self-determination suddenly found themselves just blinking in the light of a whole new day where their oppressors were one day there and the next day gone. I had a farmer in Afghanistan tell me once as we talked about what his family had endured under the Taliban. This farmer told me how it felt and how much he appreciated that the U.S. had actually brought freedom. He said to me with a straight face, he said, "For 7 years, the Taliban were in power and it did not rain. And then the Americans came and it rained." Y'all, he believed that. He believed that with his whole heart and mind, that his ability to live and scratch out a living in the hard ground of a war zone was somehow made better because the city on a hill sent its people there. But it usually starts with a voice, to be honest. It's not about boots on the ground. Sometimes it's just about a voice. When the dark clouds of government overreach are weighing down on people's lives, just one person, just one, who's willing to step out and risk their own security and stand in the face of tyranny, well, it actually inspires other people, which then inspires others, which then cascades. And the calls for freedom can be far more contagious than any virus. Sometimes it's a word. Sometimes it's a writing. Sometimes it's an action or a call to arms. Sometimes it's a look in a crowd where one person gives another person the look that says, "I got your back, let's do it." And I got to tell you, there's images that come to my mind when I think about that, about the idea of freedom being contagious, like the one man who stood in front of a tank in the center of Tiananmen Square in China, just stood there, galvanized a whole world. Or like history tells us that Andrew Jackson, who rallied up a ragtag group of militia and buccaneers and townsfolk to defend New Orleans near the end of the War of 1812, he soundly defeated a far superior British force. He is quoted as having said, "We are the freeborn sons of America. the citizens of the only republic now existing in the world and the only people on earth, he said, who possess rights and liberties and property which they dare call their own. Jackson's words and his actions in that campaign actually fired up a nation, propelled him to the presidency. Because, yeah, sometimes it's the common man who rises up, other times it's a leader who speaks over the fears of his people, provides reassurance and confidence. But it can be absolutely contagious. Isn't it amazing how one person can say or do just the right thing and turn a tide of depression into an inspiring moment? Like, what about Menachem Begin? Menachem Begin, the leader of Israel, 1948, the fledgling nation of Israel was preparing to be attacked by the Arab armies. And Menachem Begin, he spoke to the Israeli people on the radio. He prepared them for war with the Arabs, a frightened and terrified nation of people who were just 3 years after the Holocaust. But Begin was able to muster up the national collective courage, and he brought strength to his people with his words. He said this, he said, "We shall go our way into battle, and we shall be accompanied by the spirit of millions of our martyrs. And in this battle we shall break the enemy and bring salvation to our people, tried in the furnace of persecution, thirsting only for freedom and for righteousness and for justice." And they won, by the way. And I got to mention, too, what about Great Britain's prime minister in World War II, Sir Winston Churchill? Man, responsible for delivering inspiring speeches that rallied the pride of an entire nation as they were being bombed relentlessly by the Nazis. He led a tired, bruised nation into victory over tyranny, and his speeches to the nation are still considered epic. His blood, toil, tears, and sweat speech is like the stuff of legends. At one point in that speech, Churchill said, actually he thundered, "You ask what is our policy?" He said, "I can say it is to wage war by sea and by land and by air, with all our might, with all the strength that God can give us, to wage war against a monstrous tyranny never surpassed in the dark, lamentable catalog of human crime." Look, we may not be in that deep of a trial right now as a nation. We're not, personally. There's no tanks and bombs and no foreign enemies marching on our land. But we have seen, by the way, an ever-increasing attempt to dissuade the people of this great country from actually exercising their rights, the same rights that are enumerated on their behalf in our Constitution. There are good folks like the Colorado cake baker who said no in the face of overwhelming liberal opposition, and he inspired people everywhere. There's a little group of nuns who decided they'd rather go to court than to be forced to purchase medical plans that violated their religious conscience, and they won. There's a group of parents who spoke out at a school board meeting once in Loudoun County, Virginia. They created a movement that's still going across the nation right now. They changed the political landscape in their state, I guarantee you. You know why? Because freedom is contagious. Freedom is absolutely the most contagious, infectious, wide-ranging, system-changing, inherently pleasing, gut-wrenching, viral, liberating plague known to man. And we don't avoid it. We seek it. And tyrants hate it when we do. Because once it starts, whew, it goes like a wildfire, y'all. It's like a pandemic of freedom. Just a pandemic of freedom. But it all starts and gets preserved by making sure that the city on a hill stays intact, that the foundations stay solid, that the rights and the principles and the faith and the values that we were founded on are still able to be seen from a distance, because that's what a city on a hill is about. That's why Jesus used that as a reference or an analogy, because it conjures up the mental image of a weary traveler slogging their way along. As the day gets close to its end, and then off in the distance, the traveler can see the lights from the city on a hill, and they know that refuge is close. In 1980, Ronald Reagan gave a great speech, one of many. It was the night before the election that actually swept him into office for the first time as president. And he addressed the nation as somebody who believed that we are everything I just described and that he wanted to serve in such a way as to preserve it. And in that speech, the night before the election in 1980, Reagan said this. He said, talking about D.C., he said, "Visitors to that city on the Potomac do not come as white or black or red or yellow. They are not Jews or Christians, conservatives or liberals. They are not Democrats or Republicans. They are Americans, awed by what has gone before, proud of what for them is still a shining city on a hill." So hear me when I say it. That's who we are. That's how the world sees us in so many ways. That's why people in Venezuela are encouraged. That's why the Afghan farmer told me that we actually brought the rain. That's why the United States has to be preserved. That's why it means everything to keep the shining city on a hill shining. It means everything to keep it that way. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way.